I wanted this morning to congratulate John Huntington on his fine performance in the play that the Lord saw, but where is John today?
I guess he just changed his schedule to L10.
Brother Ivan Crosland was from our ward, was the director for our two. That was really a lot of fun. I wonder if consciously or unconsciously any of us tried to improve ourselves last week by the use of the beatitude that we had last Sunday. Which beatitude was it? That was the time before.
Mercy.
He who is merciful shall obtain mercy. Slightly paraphrased. Remember that we suggested that you could have an act of mercy if you did something for someone else that they could not do for themselves. Was anyone merciful this last week, consciously or unconsciously? Tell us about it. No volunteers? Ray opening the door for your girl when she gets in the car is not an act of mercy. She could do that for herself.
It was greater than that.
Okay.
Our softball team went into the championships and we let the other team win.
Boy, I'll bet.
That's something they couldn't do.
Blair from Payson, we thought that was enough against him, so we let him win.
Be careful there. I like Payson. The town, that is. Well, I was merciful last week by the definition that I gave. My wife's been sick for quite a while, and she's a great gardener. She likes to pull weeds, and I don't. So I went out to the farm two nights last week in Payson and pulled weeds for about 4 hours. So I was slightly merciful last week by the definition we gave. Brother Field?
I was just going to mention, this might be a little unfair to the rest of them, but I went to the temple this last week, and that's something I think is pretty special.
Great. Hey, Virginia went, and you know we talked... Another one. Who else went to the temple last week? Okay, well, good. Oh, he went for himself, though. Did you go for the dad? All right, great. Okay. All right, that's one of the things we considered last week. Genealogical activity, going to the temple, or a genealogical search. Well, let's continue. We improve ourselves just a little bit at a time. Very few of us suddenly, you know, are worthy to enter the kingdom of God. And it works just the opposite. As you know, Satan leads us gently down to hell, and if we'll go the other way, we can be led gently up to heaven. So it's a little step at a time. And these Beatitudes, our lesson manual is really taking those. We still have two more lessons on Beatitudes. With the idea that these are things that Jesus put forth as being good for us to do, and we ought to try and do them. So we don't need to give up on the old ones. We can still this week see if we can do something that would fall in the category of being merciful to others. And then for today's lesson, you've probably already figured that out from the sheet that I passed out. Today's lesson is Beatitude is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And there's a great deal of meaning there, if you will think about it. Now, as I said in this handout sheet, one aspect of being pure is, of course, the usual thing we think of, one that is chaste or chaste. I don't know which way to pronounce it. I hear it both ways. Chaste is the way I usually say it. And today, just by accident, happens to be the fourth anniversary of the death of a great lady, Jessie Evans Smith. And if you have known her down through the years, you will know that she very often sang this song that is from the King of Glory. It's written by J. Parks. It's based on Psalms 24, 3 and 4. And she sang just a portion of the song that has been rewritten by a guy named Mickey Hard and given the title, He That Hath Clean Hands and a Pure Heart. So I want to play for you this morning a record of her singing that. Now you have to remember, she recorded this when she was about 70 years old. So not too many of us who have a glorious voice when we're 70 years old, but she does real well, and she's rather popular with a lot of people. This song has quite a bit of meaning to me for another reason. When I was in this age group, as a matter of fact, before, we had a Sunday school teacher by the name of Ina Barnes, Ogden 18th Ward in Ogden. She took over a class of boys. They used to divide the classes boys only, girls only, more than they do nowadays. She took over a class of 12-year-old boys in a Sunday school class, and I was one of those 12-year-old boys. And she was so well-liked by us and so successful that the bishop kept promoting her with the kids. And we had her as a teacher until I was 21 years old, from the time we were 12. Now, as we got up to be about 16, then they put mixed classes together, the boys and the girls. But in addition to doing a marvelous job in the Sunday school class, she led the boys in the ward, in what we call the 18th Ward Boys Chorus. They organized this thing about 1933, 34, sometime back then, with 18 young men, pre-stage boys, from the Ogden 18th Ward. And this was one means the bishop had of sort of keeping us together, you know, an oriented right direction, doing things which were right. And she taught us to sing and had us sing, and the chorus grew up, I think, after I grew up and was married and left. It finally had about 26 members in it. But they got pretty good, so they were invited around to sing at various wards. And we sang. We were hardly ever home for our own sake. I mean, I don't think the church would approve of that nowadays. We were always out singing at some of the wards. We would put on the whole sacrament meeting program. The young men would give the speeches and sing and whatnot. And we went from the Idaho Falls area on the north, all over the northern part of Utah, and this boys chorus singing. And one reminder that Ina would give, I was for our good, not for the other people, just before the sacrament, and we would usually administer to the sacrament, even though it wasn't our own ward, and pass the sacrament in that ward. The whole program we would take over. Just before the sacrament was administered, she'd always have us sing this song, He That Hath Clean Hands and a Pure Heart. Just a few lines, not quite as extensive as Mickey Hart has made it here. And of course, that was a weekly reminder to us that if you are pure in heart, you'll be able to inherit the celestial kingdom, and certainly you shall see God. So down through the years, this particular song has had meaning to me. I'm 56 years old, and I started doing this at 16. I've had 40 years of this having quite a bit of meaning in my life. Now, this is pretty short, and the Tabernacle Choir also participates in this with Jesse Evans Smith. It's the right one. That's a kind of a prelude to it. Let me see if I can get it going a little better. Yes. it's a lot prettier than that. One trouble with audio-visual equipment, you don't know, it never performs when you're ready for it to perform. That played real well this morning before I left home. I don't know what's happened in the meantime. You think so? You think so? I don't really believe it. Let me try. A bit even worse, I'm afraid. If you'll read the last paragraph on the handout that I gave you, what does it mean to be pure in heart? Well, now I'm a chemist, and I can give you an analogy. Most of you know I've taught chemistry for 20 years at the BYU. We talk about purity in chemicals. And what we mean when we say a chemical is pure is that it is just that chemical. If it's aluminum metal, it's aluminum metal only. It contains, if it's absolutely pure, it contains no iron, no sulfur, no oxygen, no silicon, and so on. Now, it's very difficult in chemistry to get something that is very pure. The purest chemicals that a chemist has to prepare are used in the electronics industry, particularly silicon. Silicon is used for semiconductors, light-emitting diodes, all kinds of things are based on the element, on the element, silicon. And silicon is the purest chemical, just because of the need, that man currently produces. You know, Ivory soap used to be advertised, maybe it still is, being 99.44% pure. I don't really know what they meant by that. I think it was just an advertising gag. But for silicon to be good in electronic devices, it has to be what we call 7/9 pure. And so they'll write 7N. That's a better material than a 5N period or a 3N. 7N9 material, you see, is 99.99999. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. A pretty pure material. It's not alloyed, it's not diluted, it's not meddled with in any way. It's a pure material. So our heart is sort of the same way. It's all good, you see. It's not diluted, adulterated, alloyed, or anything else with any sinful material. And this heart of ours has, for ages, thousands of years, been the symbol of what's good or what's bad. You know, that guy has a bad heart, not medically, but, you know, he just, no heart. Or he has a pure heart. That's a good-hearted fellow. That's the way we talk. Well, as we have said, chastity is one of the things we think of when we think of a person having a pure heart. But it's more than that. Nothing approaching evil enters this heart to dilute its pure condition. Nothing taints or stains it. The pure heart not only excludes the unchaste thought, it excludes also the unkind thought, the ignoble thought, the irreverent thought, or any thought that would debase its purity. It is nourished by thoughts of holiness, virtue, reverence, and all it elevates the soul. And because the thought precedes the act, the pure heart assures a pure life. Now, our Sunday school class is supposed to be a practical class. What we learn here, we put into our everyday lives. I don't believe there's any argument among any of us that having a pure heart would be a very desirable quality for any of us to have. But here's the kind of problem that all of us have. And I have even heard some of the apostles, some of the members of the presidency of the church through the years when they're old men, 80 years old, say that it's still a fight. You never can give up on trying to keep evil out of your life and from influencing you. We're stuck with it. It's going to be our lifelong problem. And we've got to learn how to cope with these situations. We just can't go along day by day without being in this fight. Now, but this is the problem with most of us. This is what a young man once said in a seminar on this kind of subject. I try to be virtuous, chaste and good, but it is a constant struggle. Why can't I be what I ought to be? Well, let's see if we can get in this class this morning something to help us with the struggle. I think we can do that by recognizing that man has two parts. The scriptures say this, our prophets time and time again tell us this. Man has a physical nature and man has a spiritual nature. And the scriptures in some places even go so far as to say that man's physical nature is an enemy to God. Is this something that can be read? Now let me try and put some things on here that you already know, but in Sunday school we're always learning things you already know. It just reinforces what we know. The physical is concerned with food, and it's concerned with passion. It's concerned with excitement. And usually we figure that it's concerned with sin, although here there can be something too, in a spiritual way, I'm sure, concerned with sin. The physical is sort of the here and now. You know, this is the now generation. They say, we hope we as Latter-day Saints are the now generation. The physical is always concerned with time. We don't want to wait. We want it now. Heaven is just too abstract and too far away. To heck with those eternal things. The physical wants this instant, you know, this minute. The physical wants some kind of satisfaction. Well, these are some characteristics of the physical state that we have. And our physical state, if we let it run wild, it is always seeking gratification of some kind. All right, now I said some of these things that I think about the physical. There are other aspects of the physical. Anybody want to disagree with me on this? Or add to my list? Don't be bashful. It's hard to hurt my feelings. Okay.
I was just going to mention that if any of you seen the play Saturday's Warriors, that was it explained very well what Brother Hall's trying to put across that point about the here and now type generation and what we're really seeking for here on the earth. And it was well presented.
Wife and I went out to Payson to see that thing at the high school out there. Or was it Springville where they put that on? Somewhere down south. Well, standing room only, we never got back. Mr. Thomas.
I was
going
to say the physical, you could also put lazy up there.
Yeah. Okay. All right, now. I think because of these things, they're so strong in our... Okay. Other questions?
I hate to leave physical without seeing good things about it.
Great. All right, say something good about it.
It's a temple of our spirit.
They're important, isn't it?
Housing.
It's only by our bodies that we can both have children, repopulate the earth, and start our kingdom.
Okay. How can I say that in about two words?
Can you tell me?
Well, no, all right.
Population. More people.
Any other good things you want to say about the... Okay, Wendell?
Well, the physical body has more power than just the spirit.
No,
wait a minute. No, okay, no. I'm taking this one step beyond, like, in a resurrected sense, but also in a physical sense.
From the point of view of the world who believes we're only physical, I guess, and that we're changed into a spirit, I suppose, which many people believe. Yeah, we've got physical power. Well, because of these bad things, if you just let the spirit just coast along, these all come into play, don't they? Easy, that's easy. That just happens. This brother Christensen.
Yeah. Now I'll throw it in later.
Go on and accept things now. You may not get a chance later. All right. Because of this business here, which comes about so naturally and so automatically, I think it would be fair to say that the body is a poor master. And that we better let the Spirit be the master. Isn't that the idea? Let the Spirit be the master. Okay, now another characteristic of the body, particularly where passion is involved, is that you get into a situation and reason goes out the window. You can't think. You just don't think. Reason goes right out the window. So now we're getting down to some of the practical things that you've got to decide. First, you got to decide, and you have to work on this all your life. The Spirit is going to be the master of this household right here. That's what you decide. The Spirit is the master of this situation. And when the body, with its weaknesses, is constantly seeking gratification, it wants something now, right now. That this is already, you've already made the decision, this is has the upper hand. So now you look down the road. One thing that is beautiful about mankind, he can project himself into the future. Well, I can dream I'm in Paris, you know, looking up at the Eiffel Tower. I can imagine that right now. Isn't that a wonderful property? I don't even have to go there to do it. We can do that thing. And no other being seems to have that. The animals don't seem to have that ability. We have this power of imagination. We can dream. We can daydream. We can have fantasies. We can do all kinds of things. But those can be practical things. I'm an inventor. And I dream all kinds of dreams about things. And sometimes they end up being very practical kinds of things. Well, since we can project into the future, we know some of the kinds of situations we're going to come in. So, we commit ourselves now. At your age, you need to think of boy-girl situations. And you know what's going to happen. So you make some commitments now. You don't wait until you're in the car alone, running out of gas on top of Provo Mountain. You know the aggressive one is usually the male, and so you've got it all figured out. You know exactly how you're going to handle it. And you put your spirit in command of your physical, and you know now when things start to go a certain way, you've already decided how you're going to get out of the deal. You take the keys to the car, put them in your purse, and you run or something. I don't know. Everybody has to figure out their own situation, their own plan of action. But you get one for these situations. Now, sometimes the situations are unexpected, and you may boo-boo. But you learn from your experience, and so you have a better plan of action for next time. So you make that decision and you make that commitment right now. Well, another thing that you do is you avoid certain situations just to begin with. Now, some of us are weak. Some of us aren't as strong as others. So it's a good idea to not pick weak friends. So I've been telling my kids all my life. Don't pick weak friends. Pick strong friends. Pick somebody that's stronger than you. And then you'll never get in these kind of situations. If you have friends who like to go down to some of the less desirable places at the wrong time of night and hang around, don't go with those guys. find some people who don't go those places. If you sort of feel like you'd be weak, you might go that way. Okay, now how about some ideas from the class? Those are a couple of ideas of mine, how we can be prepared in advance, try and keep our heart pure. You have some ideas? Well, no ideas. let's go on to some other things that are in our world right now that we have to watch out for. All right, now our world does not think there's anything like sin. TV people, news commentators, sociologists, the man in the street, the public at large, in general, are fortunately quite a number of exceptions, but we're sort of outnumbered at this point in history. But to the world, there's no such thing as sin. So we give different titles to sin on TV and other situations. Do they call it sin or evil? Heck no. They call it mature. They call it adult. Or if they really want to emphasize that it's not sin, they say that it's very adult. And they might even start by putting three X's by it or something. We also hear the word that this is sophisticated. Sometimes it's different than that. In a different kind of a vein, the world will put these kind of labels on sin. They'll say that it's cute. It may even be hilarious. In a certain context, sometimes it's modern, and sometimes it's just new, but never sin nor evil. Isn't that right, Brother Field?
Also, in many cases, it's entertaining.
Yeah, okay, it's entertaining. Sometimes it's what?
It's talent.
Oh, it's talent, huh? Talent. All right.
Now we're taking.
Who called for the definition of terms?
Hey, we're taking.
I thought Mark did. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I want to know. I mean, okay, we're heading towards the media and everything, and I can see the very adult XXX sophisticated, cute, hilarious, and so on. But you know, entertaining talent. I want to see where people pick up sin and evil from the talent. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, we're using as words have more than one meaning. As you well know. Yeah. Okay. Well. All right. Let me give you an example of talent that I think was possibly sinful. I read in Newsweek magazine about this Unitarian minister. He wanted everybody to come and do his thing. You show their talent in his meeting house. And so he picked up a gal who was a striptease artist and brought her in, and she did a striptease for church that day. And she was showing her talent, and I suppose she was entertaining the congregation. words have different meanings. But let me give you an example of a word that used to be a good word in our language was discriminating. If a person was discriminating, that was a good thing. But with time passing on, if you're a discriminating person nowadays, you're terrible. That's the worst thing a guy can do, is to be discriminating. It's become a bad word. So what I'm saying, I guess, is the things that are sin or evil are passed off on us by people who say that this thing is a mature thing to be doing. I'll grant you that every one of these words certainly has a good meaning. But I think these words, because they do have a good meaning. You see, sin or evil only have bad meaning. They only have one meaning, right? We live in a world of double meanings anyway. Popular songs are always written with two meanings. They were when I was a kid, and they're written that way now that you guys are kids. Growing up kids. But you see, these words can have two meanings. And so people use them with people knowing very well that there are at least many people, that the bad is implied. If you go to see an adult movie, You know what it means. But yet being adult can be a good thing. We want everybody to grow up and be an adult. We're not going to finish this performance. Let's see. Okay, on the other hand, if you take the opposite stand in today's culture, you will be called, and this is hard to buck, you'll be called prudish, narrow-minded, provincial, unsophisticated, self-righteous, and old-fashioned. True? Okay, now, I only want to get one point across in a lesson. That's all I want. I want you to remember for this next week that one of Christ's beatitudes is that we should try to have a pure heart. And so to try and help you remember that, I've told you about Sister Smith, and we've let her sing the song. Apologies to her on the way that went. But to really reinforce it, we're going to sing it. So it's on the sheet, and Virginia and I have practiced it, and we think we can get through it. And I do have a couple of extra pieces of the music, and here's some good singers in our group. Let's give a couple of good singers a leave. Who's your
Brent.
Who?
Jim.
Brent.
Brent, give Brent one. Jim. I want a lady to sing.
Sherry Conn.
Sherry. Well, you're not going to sing alone. And there's one solo part in here, and Virginia's all I've practiced. That's the one that we're singing. Let me get a better piano. Maybe we better close the door for 5 minutes. I'm going to break down to the rest of the time.
Thank you.
see if we can improve ourselves next week in this little respect. Constant challenge for us all our lives, and I pray that we'll do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Except I gotta get myself my own good record player. He's got a trick. Thanks, Virginia.